Psalm 36, verse 1. David says that this is an oracle within my heart about the disobedience of the wicked. And I think that this is his reflections upon the problem with Saul. Saul had depression. And so they got David in to play the harp to try to cure that depression. In our days, you'd call in the psychologist. So David was a kind of amateur psychologist, really, to Saul. And he must have observed this guy in his depression, and there he was playing his harp, and he sees the depression lifting and so forth. And he got to know Saul pretty well. Now, David is very spiritual, and he's very perceptive about real spirituality, being spiritually minded. And that's what our life is all about. That's what the believing life is all about. Not so much going to church or external things, but being spiritually minded and having in our context the mind of Christ. And if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So the whole business about what you think about and being spiritually minded, this is of the essence. So David's reflections on Saul's psychological state are, I think, very relevant. And he says in verse 3, he has ceased to be wise and to do good. Now, first of all, we're told that when Saul became king, he had the Spirit of God, he was given another heart. And when there were people who opposed his kingship, we're told that he behaved himself wisely. So I think it is Saul that is in view here. And David talks about this person who he calls the wicked one, which is what Saul is called quite a few times. And he's obviously thought about what's going on within Saul's mind. He says there's no fear of God before his eyes. Well, the eyes are the mind, the perception. He has not got any fear of God because, verse 2, he flatters himself in his own eyes too much to detect and hate his sin. I'll repeat that. David says, verse 2 of Psalm 36, he flatters himself in his own eyes too much to detect and hate his sin. Well, this is the problem. When people have no fear of God, and the fear of God, sure, it means respect of God, but we as sinners ought to have a healthy fear of God. That is quite appropriate. And it's all very well talking about grace and being assured of salvation, which I very often do. But that does not preclude, it does not exclude, also having this quite appropriate fear of God because of our sin. It was because he had no fear of God that he flattered himself in his own eyes too much to detect and hate his sin. What a contrast with Paul in Romans 7, who says, I do that which I hate. And you almost wonder whether Saul, who was named after the king of Israel, Saul, had, when he became Paul, became a Christian, whether he wonders about the historical Saul. And he's trying to learn the lesson when he says, I hate what I do. I hate the sin that I do. Whereas the historical Saul flattered himself so much that he did not hate his sin. And likewise, verse 4, he doesn't hate evil. Paul says, Saul of Tarsus, says, I hate the evil that I do. I want to do good, but whenever I want to do good, evil is present with me, within me, and I do that which I hate. So I think that he is alluding to this passage about Saul, king of Israel. And this is how we should be, recognizing that I'm not going to be perfect, and I do fail, and I will die imperfect. But that, when I say that's okay, it's not okay, and yet in another sense it is okay in terms of salvation, because he hated his sin. Whereas Saul of Israel was flattering himself in his own eyes. You imagine David playing the harp and looking at Saul and thinking, what's going on in that head of yours? You're flattering yourself in your own eyes. Now, you may say, well, how does David know that? Well, yeah, I think he was very spiritually perceptive, and he saw this going on, as it were, within Saul's mind as Saul lay on his bed. You know, Saul would lie on his bed and then pick up a javelin and throw it at David, try to kill him. So he says in verse 4, he plots iniquity on his bed. Now, sadly, in the longer term, David didn't quite learn that for himself, because in 2 Samuel 11, verse 2, we're told that it was whilst David was on his bed on the housetop that he basically plotted the sin with Bathsheba. But all the same, I think he does perceive that this is how sin happens, because of what you think about as you lie on your bed. And this is the essence of being spiritually minded, to realize that this happens and not to be like that, and not to flatter yourself that I am so good, but therefore, as it says, he flatters himself in his own eyes too much to detect and hate his sin. So why do we fail in self-examination to detect and hate our sin? Because we flatter ourselves in our own eyes. But we don't do that consciously. This is all being said by David on the deeply psychological subconscious level. We do not tell ourselves, I am so good. We don't consciously in our own self-talk talk like that to ourselves. But once you lose the fear of God, once you lose the sense of your own moral frailty before him, then, yeah, that is what you're doing. You are flattering yourself. And so much of the postmodern mentality and spirit of our age is exactly doing that. You are a wonderful person. Well, yes, we are, in a sense, but not in another sense. You keep on telling yourself, I'm wonderful, you know, then you will never detect and hate your own sin. Now, of course, you can go too far, and some personality types go far too far in this and end up, you know, I, the miserable sinner, only thinking about their sins and how weak I am and how hopeless I am and helpless I am, etc. And that, of course, is also not right, because we are saved by grace, and God has given us his Spirit, and God passionately wants to save us. This is why Jesus died on the cross. This is the whole message of the cross of Jesus. And so, all the same, if we refuse to accept our sinfulness, and if we refuse to detect and hate our own sin, then we are simply flattering ourselves, and this will lead us to the decline spiritually that happened to Saul. You end up plotting iniquity on your bed because you are refusing to be aware that sin begins within the mind. How often is this taught? You know, James 1 is very clear that sin is conceived within the human mind and it gives birth to the action. Our thoughts give rise to our words. The Lord Jesus teaches this so often. The emphasis of his message is so much upon what you think. If you commit adultery in your heart, in his book, it's as if you've done it. If you hate your brother in your heart, it is as if you've murdered him. So the idea that, well, it just matters what you do, you know, just be smart enough not to do anything like murdering anybody, be smart enough not to actually, you know, have an affair, not to commit adultery. No, this is the spirit of our age, but that is not the spirit of God. The essence is who you are when no one is looking. When you are lying on your bed, and Saul, king of Israel, plotted iniquity on his bed. He had no fear of God before his eyes. I suppose it's impossible to get the balance quite right between saying, you know, we miserable sinners, and on the other hand, this postmodern idea that I am a jolly good guy, I'm a wonderful person, and don't tell me that I got any problem with sin or that there's anything wrong within my mind. It's a difficult balance, I suppose, and yet I would have thought that spiritual common sense, as it were, would show us what I'm trying to say. And what David is saying here, that we have to have that fear of sin and fear of God's judgment right judgment of sin, and that awareness of our very strong proclivity, our very strong tendency towards sin, and recognizing that it begins in your heart. It begins in what you think about. So be spiritually minded. Fill your mind with the atmosphere of spiritual things. Walk in the Spirit, Paul says, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And walking in the Spirit is about a path of thought to be spiritually minded. And that's why I encourage folks, you know, listen to the Bible text, listen to spiritual things as much as you can, rather than filling your mind with empty stuff. Be careful what you watch. Do not watch stuff that is, movies and so forth, that are going to put images in your mind, because your heart, your mind is what God seeks after. I'll repeat what I said before, that I was baptized, came out of the water, bathtub, I went to a side room to change, and I opened my Bible at random, and you open a Bible at random, you open it roughly in the middle, and I came to Proverbs, "My son, give me your heart." And that really is what spirituality is about. Giving God your heart, giving God your mind, and having a path of thought and a way of thought and an atmosphere of thinking that is of the Spirit and not of the flesh.